When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Tough year for the Adelaide Crows. Senior assistant coach is Scotty Burns. They're in Hobart at the moment, preparing to take on the Roods. He joins us now. How are you, Scotty?
How you going, Kim? Rich?
Yeah, not bad. It's beautiful here at the Adelaide Oval. What's it like in Hobart?
As good as you can guess, yeah. Beautiful day. We went and trained at Blundstone about an hour ago, and not much wind and sunny, and I think that's the forecast for tomorrow as well.
Perfect.
All right, a bit to get through. Before we get into the game, though, a draw in Anzac Day. Did you play in the first one ever in 95?
Yeah, it was about my third or fourth game in, I think. So, yeah, played in that one. That's when you start on the bench and you come on late in the third quarter, actually. That's how long ago it was.
Would explain your stats for the day, Scott.
That was a big day. That was we didn't quite think how big it was going to come. Or even that specific day, there was 95,000, and we didn't know till after the game. They actually turned away about 10 or 12,000, they said, at the gates. So there's a lot of people wanting to get there.
Oh, it was a sensational game yesterday. Did you have a look at it?
Yeah, I saw the first three quarters, and I had to take off. I was really impressed with Essendon early, like everybody was, and I thought Collingwood had a lot of chances in that late in that first and in that second, and it was a fantastic response by Essendon. I thought coming into the third quarter, when it looked like Collingwood had all that momentum, we were going to probably keep going away, and it was just one of those games where, you know, one mistake here, one mistake there, or one good player capitalises on something, it can certainly turn the game.
Most people were gutted at losing to Essendon. Maybe they're a little bit better than people are giving them credit for.
Yeah, they're a very good team. I was lucky enough to watch them live the week before against the Bulldogs, and they played some very good football that night. And yeah, it's just every time we come on here, we keep saying it's such an even comp, which it is. There's no game's easy, and Essendon were. Certainly picked up a lot from last year, and I think you get that continuity with your senior coach too. It's starting to develop, but they've got a lot of very good football players across every line.
Scott, to wheel it back to 95, did you find it rather strange? You came out of a Sandville environment where we had the Anzac Day game every year and had been going for 40 years, and there you go into an expanded VFL now known as the AFL, and they had never twigged to the thought, why don't we do big things on Anzac Day?
Yeah, I really can't recall how it all started because everything was just so new to me back then, Rooch first year. But Sheedy and Malthouse were, Sheedy at the time was massive for it. Yeah. And then Malthouse come later on, and his knowledge on any war that Australia fought was just massive as well. And I think the AFL, I know we've got that standalone game with Collingwood and Essendon, but I remember at the time thinking that around that 95 period that everyone was starting to drop away a little bit from what had happened previously in world wars. It was sort of a long time ago. We probably didn't give as much emphasis or appreciation of it to what we actually do now. And I think the AFL have done a terrific job in that in terms of Australia-wide getting everyone to notice the last post. It's just magical when you get that, especially at a full-ground MCG when everything's dead quiet. And you'll get it there tonight at Adelaide Oval. It's an eerie feeling, but it's one that certainly, you know, it lets your mind transfer back to what's been done in the past, and certainly appreciate those that have fallen before us or fought.
I reckon you hit the nail on the head there. I think the AFL and Channel 7 educated a generation of people, many generations, as to what happened many, many years ago. So full credit to the AFL.
So you were fortunate, Scott, to be at Collingwood. Did you ever feel it was a bit rich that it was Collingwood and Essendon who had that right year after year after year after year?
Maybe initially, Rich, to tell you the truth, but the even being away from there now, you just I don't know how they do it, those two clubs, but it just there's just quite, you know, the Zaharakis goal. There's so many things where you look back over the journey where it's just two draws now. Whatever they do, and they're big, obviously they're well-supported clubs. And look, I think for the bigger picture of the game, I love now, even though if you take the fact that I did play for Collingwood, just watching a huge game, big crowd, and those two teams seem to do it just about year in, year out, the performance they put on.
All right, let's have a look at this game tomorrow. It's crucial for the Adelaide Footy Club. Matt Crouch couldn't play last week. Maybe if he did, they would have won. But you look at all the teams this year that had players out. You look at the way Sydney's going without Parker and Mills, and there's no excuses when it comes to injuries or suspension. Crouch comes back in, the Big Easy's in, and Lukey Pedler. Let's have a look at Elliot Himmelberg, the expectations, and is it sort of the last chance for him to really consolidate himself as a player?
Yeah, we had him in the back line a fair bit throughout the pre-season, having a look back there. And, you know, we've been quite impressed with the way Keeney and Joshy Worrell have come along. So probably wasn't getting that opportunity back there. And we're looking at, as soon as Riley Filthorpe went down at 200 centimetres, we sort of fixed our, you know, patching up a little bit, I guess, with the second ruck. Now, Burgess can ruck and so can Glant. But Elliot's 202 centimetres, I think. Mm. So he's pretty important in that regard. And he certainly had games at AFL level where he's kicked his three or four as well. So we've tried, we've had a look at Burgess for a little bit, giving Glant a few games. And Elliot's form, actually, the last 2 weeks has been very, very good in the SNFL. So we thought we'd he certainly deserved it, but have another look at him at AFL level.
Is it unfair to call him a bit of a tease? Because his good's very good.
Yeah, I wouldn't use that word, but I mean, he's been obviously in the system for a little while now, and he certainly, you know, I think he's kicked four in a showdown, and that's not easy to do. So he's certainly got talent and ability. I can remember before I come here too, as a second ruck, I remember being very impressed with him with his follow-up in that regard. So he's had a few little niggles with shoulders along the way, but, you know, sometimes, you know, players can pop up at 23, 24, 25 and... and play 100 to 150 games from then on end too. So he's got it in front of him. He's got the opportunity. So it's just if he takes that or not over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
So Matt Crouch comes back into the midfield. So that's another one to squeeze in. Any thought of Laird going into defence?
Yeah, no, there have been discussions that we've had with nearly not quite a few of our players, to tell you the truth. When you're not quite getting things going, you certainly have a look at... where we can get an advantage or where we can help players out to find a little bit of form. But, look, we've been really impressed with Matty Crouch. We thought he was big early on in the season for us. He's one of those players that's just so clean that can stand up in tackles. And I thought last week, just around the ball, we're probably double-taking a little bit at ground level and, you know, as a collective. And I think that's one area that Crouch, I don't think I've ever seen him do that. So his ability was sorely missed last week and, we think he can certainly add a fair bit to us back in and around the ball tomorrow.
Expectations for Lukey Pedler?
Well, it's not necessarily expectations, but yeah, he's got the opportunity again. We're obviously very pleased with the season that he had last year, and prior to that, he had quite a few niggles and was battling for continuity. Just struggled a little bit for form for a few weeks, so we got him back, and there was certainly a change last week against Glenelg. We gave him a run on ball for a few weeks there just to get around it, get a touch of the footy again, because certainly at NFL level, it can be hard sometimes if you're you know, the forward line, you can be a little bit out of the play. So we were very impressed with him last week. He's trained very well this week too, so hopefully he can bring that little bit of swagger and a little bit of confidence, and we're really looking at him to supply a fair bit of aggression and pressure in that forward line as well.
Okay, so more forward line, so Rochelli and Rankin more midfield minutes again?
Yeah, they'll all get a go at times, but he'll predominantly play forward. And okay. You know, like we said previously, we certainly think we've got Soligo right now as that midfielder, and we'll certainly give Rankin and Rochelli every opportunity there when they can. And you know, Rankin 2 weeks ago was one of our, or probably was, three votes best player on the ground against Carlton. So he's one we said look at to bounce back from last week, where he's a little bit quiet, and hopefully get a fair bit of the ball through that midfield and then going forward.
Scott, what is the mood and spirit of Josh Rochelli like at the end of the week after being in the headlines all through the start of the week?
Yeah, just going to Inner Sanctum straight after the game, I obviously went up to him and had a chat. He's a very honest young fella, and you would have seen that, yeah. You know, what he spoke about earlier in the week. You're going, that's, you know, it is what it is. It's, you know, he has that sort of attitude. There's no one to blame but myself. He doesn't blame anyone at all for any of his performances, and he always puts it back on himself. So it was showed a fair bit of maturity. He knew what was coming straight away after the game, so he was on the front foot to put his hand up and to accept anything that came his way. In terms of training this week, I think he's just trained really well. He's just got to work. So the one thing, you know, the one conversation you'd have to him as a coach is that don't go looking for the first one to go back aggressively with a mark back against the flight of the ball, because it's rare that it's going to happen again. You don't get in that situation too much. I think what he has to do is make sure he just brings his aggression, his tackling, and his hard strikes on the ball at ground level, hitting through you know, opposition players, to make sure he drives his legs out of it. I think that's the main thing that he's got to bring this week.
Scott, it's interesting this game is full of stats. There's an interesting one that's just been pushed around in the past 24 hours about teams in the AFL this year that haven't brought up a rookie or a draftee recently. Adelaide's on that list. How close are you to looking at one of the new additions from your draft list of last October and November?
Yeah, well, we're close. But, I mean, we want them to be ready to play as well. I don't think necessarily you need to rush them. I know, obviously, we had the early draft pick with Curtin, and he's progressing quite nicely at halfback at the moment, and played key position last week, and you know, that was a great test for him against Glenelg. They got some very, well, I think anyway, from the level underneath the AFL, they got the best forward line nearly going around. So it was a good test for our younger defenders last week. But having said that, I mean, we've, you know, over the last 2 or 3 years, I think we, at the end of last year, we probably only had about two blokes that hadn't played an AFL game. So it's certainly something over the years. Anyway, the last 2 or 3 years, we've certainly promoted and pushed players up to have a look at them anyway. And now we just want consistency of form underneath to come in and get that opportunity to play at AFL level. But yeah, it's certainly getting closer for a couple of them.
Okay. Who would be more advanced, Billy Dowling or Dan Curtin?
Well, I'd say Billy's form has been very solid over the last 2 to 3 weeks, which has been very pleasing. And Curtin certainly physically has got the body to have a go at AFL level. And he played senior football last year at in WA as well. So he's played against men for a year and a half. So he's, like I said, they're not too far off either of them.
Scotty, Mitchie Hinge plays his 50th AFL match tomorrow. He's been a good pickup for the Adelaide Crows. Give us your views on how he goes about it.
Yeah, he's been a terrific pickup. You know, he's just that, what is he, 6'2" maybe? Beautiful height, left footer, that's always really important off half back, and certainly got a fair bit of courage with, you know, certainly internally. His first game against Geelong, did his shoulder and stayed out there and tried to commit and play as much as he could with a dislocated shoulder, and didn't play another game for the rest of that year. So he certainly grabbed our attention with his ability or his wants or his desire to push through injury. And then he's had a few groin issues probably after that. So it's been a little bit of a journey with him, but his speed, his athleticism, his endurance, you know, he's that height that he can play on talls, he can play on smalls, and now he's certainly a strong leader at the football club. So it's 50 games in. I'm not sure how old Hinge is now. He must be close to 24. But I really hope that he can get a lot of continuity over the next 7 or 8 years and string a fair few games together, because he's extremely important for us.
You're an old Norwood boy. Dylan Stevens plays his 50th game. We speak to him regularly when he was up in Sydney, because we keep an eye on the South Aussie boys. Did you have a look at him to coming back to Adelaide?
Yeah, I think we have a look at all of them, of course, like you do. You always have the SA boys who have gone elsewhere, and you know their contract status, where they are, how they're going. Yeah, I think the draft time we looked at him pretty closely as well. I think the boys liked him a fair bit there, which was just, I think that was the year before I got here. So, you know, we watched them all closely, and yeah, I thought he got going there last year up in Sydney, and he's certainly been quite consistent this year for North on that wing as well.
6 weeks in, Scott, when you look at the table, your 15th one win, it's not the picture that Adelaide had in mind at the start. Also then, when you get battered by what has been a long run of, well, let's call them bad decisions by umpiring, what's the theme that comes at Adelaide at this time when you look like you're going to have to play a lot of catch-up footy on the ladder?
Yeah, well, I think the first one with the umpiring decisions, let's be 3 goals up, not 3 points up or 3 points
well
down.
Said.
That
well
makes
said.
A difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, well said.
Oh, look, we just have to, you just got to keep going to training. You got to work on the things you need to work on. I think a lot of the things which is being frustrating and disappointing for us is just the basic fundamentals, whether it's, like I said earlier, being clean at ground level or holding those tackles. You know, we've been out in space a lot this year, shoulders out. We haven't managed to hit our targets or we've hit the ground where 12 months ago, and even this pre-season, it was certainly a different level. So that's something we've addressed. We've worked on aggressively over the last, not just this week, but certainly over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And we thought there was improvement v. Carlton. Unfortunately, couldn't quite get it done against Essendon. But training this week's been at the highest standard we've had for a little while. So hopefully we can take that form out onto the Oval tomorrow and really give a good account of ourselves.
Scotty, a lot of people will be watching. It's a big game. It's we're celebrating the Anzacs. I know it means a lot to everyone, so we wish you all the very best. Let's hope it's a cracking game.
No worries. Thanks, lads.
Thanks, Scott.
Scotty Burns.
I like that answer. B3 goals ahead and three goals behind. That's a great answer.
I say we all know it was wrong in the Sydney game with the bad score, but don't be 6 or 7 goals down in the final game of the year when you're playing for a place in the finals.
Another good point, Kim.
So, you know, I don't get overly worked up over it. I know it's frustrating, and not speaking on behalf of Crows supporters. I know how passionate they are, but